What do you do when the world decides you're no longer relevant? When the mortgage algorithm rejects you, not for lack on money, but because you're female, single, self-employed, and over 50? This is the jarring reality that kicks off a journey back into dating after decades of marriage. After a dog's death, a divorce, and that algorithmic slap in the face, retreating to the countryside with two poodles seemed like the perfect escape. No men, no sex, no drama, just riding horses, and genuine contentment in the silence. But life rarely lets us stay comfortable. A chance to profit from selling a Manhattan apartment pulls you back to the city, this time to a modest one-bedroom. Suddenly, old friends resurface, each carrying their own wreckage from failed marriages and relationships. There's Queenie, the former it girl, now divorced with a baby, Kitty, whose picture-perfect marriage ended with drunken divorce papers, Tilda Tia, fresh from ending a 12-year relationship in France. Together, this collection of middle-aged women forms an unlikely tribe, ready to answer an uncomfortable question. Is there still sex in the city when you're no longer the ingenue? Re-entering the dating world means confronting an uncomfortable truth. Your body has changed, and an entire industry profits from that insecurity. A routine gynecologist appointment becomes a sales pitch for a $3,000 laser treatment to restore vaginal flexibility. The procedure sounds absurd until you hear about the Hollywood wife who got it at 52, then left her husband for their daughter's horse trainer, a man 20 years younger. This is the vagina industrial complex, operating on the same principle that transformed dating when Viagra arrived. Older men got pharmaceutical enhancement and left wives for younger women. Now the reverse is happening, but with a crucial difference. Viagra costs little and gets insurance coverage. Vaginal rejuvenation costs thousands out of pocket. Without that investment, you're left with what you have, a bicycle. And bicycles have become the unexpected gateway to modern flirtation. The nerdy bicycle boys of decades past have evolved. There are now family man billionaire tech guys who change marriages like tires, pack rats whose cycling obsession irritates their wives, and actual bicycle boys who can do wheelies. The bicycle expedition ends with frozen rose, french fries, and an Uber home. No romance, but plenty of laughs. An editor assigns an investigation. Expose how Tinder is ruining her friends' lives. The truth is simpler. It's about money. The app's deceptive interface tricks users into a $99 subscription, pulls an ancient Facebook photo, and automatically sets age preferences to 55 to 70. Resetting to 22-38 suddenly unlocks dozens of young men supposedly interested in women old enough to be their mothers. A gathering of Tinderellas, impressive young women who regularly use the app, reveals modern dating's bleak landscape. Over champagne, they analyze matches and explain that lengthy messages are red flags. Most devastating is their philosophy. You have to be just as self-absorbed because it's every man for himself in a relationship. When asked about traditional romance, exchanging numbers, meaningful phone conversations, dinner dates, they grow wistful. To me, it sounds so appealing, one size, but it's not realistic anymore. The addiction sets in quickly. The attention feels intoxicating. But Tinder selected only the most flattering photos from social media. You've become a false advertiser without trying. The first date devolves into complaints about how men on Tinder only want one thing. A younger male friend confirms men are run by their little heads, estimating 90% on Tinder are assholes. The most disturbing insight? I am a commodity, and I need to repackage myself. Middle-aged women have become unexpectedly attractive to younger men, a phenomenon called cubbing, where young men actively pursue older women. This shift stems from pornography, with MILF being the most Googled term in 2007, women's improved appearance through fitness and skincare, and generational changes in attraction. Unlike aggressive cougars, catnips are sensible women unexpectedly pursued by younger men. Take Joanne, who connected with a 27-year-old chef at a dinner party. Rather than a brief fling, they moved in together and were later spotted shopping for appliances. Even women who've never considered younger men can experience an unexpected cub pounce. At a friend's party, you retreat to the basement, where the host's 23-year-old son and his friends offer beer. Suddenly, one kisses you, a startling moment that makes you question everything. But complications arise. One friend's hookup turned obsessive, constant texting, trying to leave clothes at her place, insisting she meet his parents, who turned out to be old friends she hadn't seen in 25 years. Cubbing, while flattering, comes with unique challenges. Middle-aged madness erupts when typically pleasant women suddenly explode, throwing drinks at wellness retreats or spiraling into volatile arguments. Perfect summer weather brings increased gatherings and drinking, deteriorating social dynamics, arrests for drunk driving, dramatic confrontations over perceived slights. Unlike the traditional male midlife crisis at 40, today's middle-aged madness strikes women in their 50s and 60s, precisely when they're juggling divorce, death, menopause, empty nests, and job loss simultaneously. Today's 50-somethings aren't quietly retiring, but starting over with fewer resources, having casual sex, relocating, launching new ventures. One friend exemplifies this turbulence. After embracing her implant-enhanced body, she marries for money as revenge against her ex-husband, enduring 5 years of mean-spirited behavior for her son's security. When he demands divorce, stress causes one breast implant to explode. During recovery, her father dies in a car accident. Insurance covers reconstructive surgery, including liposuction, giving her a dramatically transformed body. Middle-aged madness creates psychological low points that feel like black holes. Moving beyond requires confronting reality and rebuilding. Another friend, nearly 60, single, without housing or income after leaving the workforce for 20 years, finds work measuring blinds for the same wage she earned 40 years earlier. Then fate intervenes. Her childless aunt dies, leaving enough money to buy a small rural house and pursue painting. Max and his son arrive 4 hours late during a heat wave. You've never been motherly, and Max's laissez-faire parenting shows. He sits texting while you help his boy shop. Friends offer pools and activities. At one house, you're scolded for forgetting the boy's name. Queenie, a yummy mommy, immediately takes his hand and entertains him in the pool. You learn children need constant engagement. It's not a cocktail party. Connection comes when you teach him to dive, which he masters in 40 minutes. At the bike shop, you discover he can't ride, a secret he'd hidden from his father. When the bike with training wheels arrives, he pedals around the parking lot with a smile that makes everything worthwhile. That look of pure joy when a child gets it is incomparable. Seeing his son's quick learning, Max becomes determined to teach him fishing, tennis, and reading. This triggers a realization: without children, no one truly needs you. Reviewing the video later reveals the truth. The vacation was everything you'd hoped for. Throughout it all, the kid was happy, laughing, having fun. Against all odds, you and Marilyn both find boyfriends after resigning yourselves to permanent singlehood. At a party, yours materializes with champagne and the kindest smile. In his car afterward, he says something startling. "I really like you. I have instincts about people. I think you and I could be really good together." The relationship becomes a whirlwind of flowers, shows, island vacations, and constant spoiling. Marilyn calls with similar news, a 64-year-old surfer from a Hamptons party who really listens. The key attributes: genuinely nice guys without strings of bad relationships, grown-ups who manage their own lives, interested in age-appropriate women. They want equals to share life's burdens because shit happens to all of us, and it's just a little better if you don't have to go through it alone. Then shadow falls. Marilyn, who seemed happier than ever, takes her own life. No note, only a will requesting cremation. Her death leaves friends questioning how someone thriving could make this choice. After 18 months together, you've settled into comfortable coupledom. As your 60th birthday approaches, you decide to embrace this new decade without hiding your age. The truth is, there's still sex in the city. It just looks different now. messier, more complicated, occasionally absurd, but ultimately more honest.